Now, if you'll turn in your Bibles to the book of 2 Peter, chapter 3. In the series on the great chapters of the Bible. 2 Peter, chapter 3. And I shall begin to read in the very first verse of this great and outstanding chapter that has so much meaning for us in 1967. Verse 1, after a word of prayer. Dear God, we thank Thee for the Bible. We thank Thee for the church, for heaven, for home, for life, for an opportunity to serve Thee. And now we pray that the Holy Spirit would speak to us from the pages of Thy blessed and timeless Word, so that we each one might have profited for having been in the service tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, and for His sake with thanksgiving. Amen. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful, and note those two words, be mindful, of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking of in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, Beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. So let it be. The Apostle Peter wrote two letters, both bearing his name. Between the first letter and the second letter, there crept into the church to which Peter wrote, false teachers with corrupt doctrines. Now the two go hand in hand. Anytime you have false teachers, you'll have corrupt doctrine. In this second epistle, Peter warns the church of two things in particular. One, of the presence of false teachers, and two, of the increasing frequency of the presence of the false teachers toward the last day. Now, we in 1967 are living in the day about which Peter wrote. There are in abundance tonight false teachers who are wresting or twisting the scriptures, perverting them to their own end, and Peter says, to their own destruction. We ought to be careful how we tamper with the Word of God. You know, I don't understand how some people can go to churches week after week and support programs week after week, month after month, year in and year out, that are not true to the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's beyond me. Peter warns the church that there shall come false teachers to pervert the truth of the gospel of Christ and turn many away. And he says, beware lest you also be turned away. Anyone who adds anything to the Word of God is perverting the truth. Anyone who takes anything away from the Scriptures is perverting the truth. And God's Word says there is a curse upon those who add to or take away from this blessed book. No wonder then Peter was moved of the Holy Spirit to write this letter of warning. And in this second epistle, the coming of Christ is very prominent. And Peter points out several things in view of the coming of Christ. He says in verse 2, be mindful. He says in verse 8, be not ignorant. He says in verse 14, be diligent. And finally in verse 17, he says, beware. Now let's put these four B's together and call this Peter's Beehive. Isn't that a good name for it? Peter says, be mindful, be diligent, be not ignorant, and beware. In view of the second coming of Christ, Peter says, be mindful. Look again with me at verse 2. That ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the words that are spoken of the apostles. And in verse 3, be mindful that in the last days scoffers shall come. So there are three things that Peter says, be mindful of in view of the second coming of Jesus Christ. First of all, be mindful of the words of the prophets. Now, the words of the prophets of the Old Testament were just as accurate as the words of the apostles of the New Testament. In this epistle, in chapter 1 and verse 21, Peter says, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved or carried along by the Holy Ghost. Everything that was written from Genesis through Malachi is just as inspired as that which is written from Matthew to the Revelation. All of the prophets of old were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Isaiah spoke of the virgin birth of Jesus Christ in chapter 7 and verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son. And thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is simply God with us. In the 9th chapter of his prophecy, Isaiah spoke about the kingdom of Christ in verse 6 and in verse 7. In particular, verse 7, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with justice, with judgment and justice from henceforth, even forevermore. Peter says, be mindful of what the prophets wrote. Isaiah wrote about the virgin birth, and Isaiah wrote about the coming kingdom of Christ. We ought to be mindful of what he said. Daniel wrote about the birth, the time element, in his 9th chapter. Daniel pinpoints the time of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in his 2nd chapter, Daniel writes about the great kingdom that Christ will establish upon this earth. The little stone hewn out of the mountain without hands that smashes the image of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, is the Lord Jesus Christ and his ultimate kingdom. What are you looking for tonight? We better be looking for the coming of the Son of Man. For Peter says, be mindful of what the prophet said about the coming of Jesus. The prophet Micah wrote about the coming of Christ in chapter 5 and in verse 2. He tells us about the place where Jesus would be born, in Bethlehem of Judea. Much in the news in these last few weeks. Micah goes on to tell us his position when he says, out of Bethlehem shall come the one who shall rule my people. Christ is to be a king. He has a kingdom. And in his kingdom there are subjects. And you and I are subjects of his kingdom. So all that the prophets wrote, all the way through the major prophets, Isaiah, Daniel, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and all the minor prophets, their message can all be summarized with one thing, the coming of Jesus Christ. Whether it be the first advent, his coming in the incarnation, or the second advent, his coming in rapture and then in revelation after the tribulation to establish his kingdom upon this earth. Read it in the book of Zephaniah, the day of the Lord. Read it again in Isaiah and Jeremiah and all the books of prophecy. Peter knew what he was talking about because he was a student of Old Testament prophecy. That's why he could write about this. He studied the Old Testament. He studied the prophets that he might be better able to serve the people that God had called him to serve. Be mindful of what the prophets wrote. Don't ever doubt the scriptures, is what Peter was saying. That is the oldest trick that Satan has. He attempted to get Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden to doubt what God said. Did God really, truly, emphatically say that you should not eat of this fruit lest you die? It is a dangerous thing to doubt the word of God. Be mindful of what the prophets wrote. Secondly, be mindful of what the apostles wrote. He mentions Paul by name in this chapter. And Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 talks about the coming of Jesus Christ. And in all of his epistles, Peter says, he wrote about the coming of Christ. Jude writes about Jesus coming with 10,000s of his saints with him to execute judgment upon the earth. And then Peter in his first epistle, chapter 5 and verse 4 says, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, he shall receive a crown of glory. Peter, James, John, all of the writers of the New Testament wrote about the coming of Jesus Christ. Be mindful of what the apostles have said. And if we study what the prophets said and bring together with that what the apostles said, we can know that we are living in the midnight hour of the church age. And Jesus Christ is coming. And he is going to take out of this world all who have been born by the Spirit of God into the family of God by his own blood shed upon Calvary's cross. He's coming in the rapture, ensued and followed by the tribulation period. And then he's coming, as Jude said, with tens of thousands of his saints to execute judgment upon this earth. There's no real justice tonight. I heard a young man interviewed in Vietnam on the news reel the other night, and he said, "This is the most senseless thing. I don't know why I'm here. I don't know why our men are dying. What are we doing here? There's no real justice tonight." But there's going to be an hour when Jesus Christ shall rule with judgment and justice upon this earth, when all of the kingdoms of this earth become the kingdoms of our Lord, and he rules them with a rod of iron. The apostles wrote about it. The prophets wrote about it. And Peter said, we ought to be mindful of it. Then Peter said, you ought to be mindful of the scoffers and skeptics that are going to come. He said that there in verse 3 and verse 4. Be mindful, beware, look out for those who come and say, where is the promise of his coming? Why, we found everything just like it's always been. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? Where is the fulfillment of the prophets? That's the question. For since the fathers fell asleep, since the prophets died, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. But then Peter says they are willingly ignorant. You know, it's one thing just to be ignorant, but it's another to be willfully ignorant. Now, we may not know too much when we start out in life, but it is a shame to remain ignorant and to be willingly ignorant of the truth of God's word. And these who are scoffing and mocking and making fun and ridiculing the prophecy of the scripture, they are ignorant tonight. They think they're smart. They think they're wise. They think they know it all, but they don't know anything. A man who is ignorant of the truth of God's word is ignorant. He may know everything there is to know, but I believe that we could be within bounds to class him as ignorant if he doesn't know the truth of God's word. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord, not the end of it, the starting point. No man is wise who doesn't have some knowledge of the word of God. Be mindful of what the apostles wrote. Be mindful of what the prophets said. And be mindful of all of these scoffers and doubters and skeptics who will come and ask, where is the coming of Christ? They are ignorant. Don't you fall into that category, Peter said. In the second place, he says, in view of the second coming of Jesus, be not ignorant. That follows through with what we've just now said. Verse 8, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. And in these verses, between 5 and 10, Peter points out at least six things that we ought not to be ignorant of. First, we ought not to be ignorant of God's creative power. Verse 5. In the second place, we ought not to be ignorant of God's judgment. Verse 6. In the third place, we ought not to be ignorant of God's keeping power. In verse 7. In the fourth place, we ought not to be ignorant of God's timetable. One day as 1,000 years, in verse 8. In verse 9, we ought not to be ignorant of God's promise. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any, A-N-Y, any should perish, but that everyone should come to repentance and live. Don't be ignorant of God's promise. And then finally in verse 10, Peter says, don't be ignorant of the coming of the day of the Lord. Now he's chiming right in with what Paul said over in the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Some came on the scene and said, Jesus has already come. And Paul said, wait just a moment. That day shall not come, lest there come first a falling away. And the son of perdition, the son of man, the Antichrist be revealed. If I miss not my guess tonight, the Jews in the Middle East are gathering momentum to reconstruct a temple in which the abomination of desolation may be set up. They've already collected. I read the other day, I believe it was $1 million a minute for 15 minutes. Over $90 million have gone into the Jewish fund. I believe part of that money will be spent to erect a temple. And the abomination of desolation that Daniel spoke of will be set up in that temple. And in the 3.5, after the first 3.5 years, when this happens, and the great period of the tribulation, the last 3.5 years, begins, it's going to be a woeful time. And at the end of that period, Jesus is going to come in the brightness of his glory and destroy the whole mess. And a new covenant is made with Israel. And a new way of life is begun. Peter talks about it, Paul talks about it, and he says, be not ignorant, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, unexpectedly. What are people looking for tonight? Everything but the coming of Jesus. Unexpectedly, Jesus is coming. Peter said, don't be ignorant of that. There's something else. Number three, in view of the second coming, Peter says, be diligent. I looked that word up. You know what it means? It means to speed up. That's what some of you need to do about 9:30 on Sunday morning. It means to be prompt. You look it up in your Greek dictionary. Go get your concordance tonight. It says be prompt. That's what some of you need to do about 5:45 on Sunday evening. Right, Brother Will? Here's a man that came in late tonight and had two departments waiting on him. I've already got on to him about it. I'm not getting on to him now. I've already told him about it. It ought not to be that way, had it? All right, brother. I've already talked to him about some of the others. You came in late. And you're coming in late for Sunday school, and the Bible says be diligent. I believe it means to be prompt. If you've got a responsibility, get up to it. I've been in public life for 16 years, and I can't ever remember being late for one engagement. I mean that tonight. Now, I know there are times when people have to be late. But I don't believe that we as Christians are as diligent as we ought to be when we habitually come to Sunday school and training union and church late. Now, I might get started preaching here if I keep on. But the Bible says be diligent. How long do you suppose you get by with your boss man by coming in late every morning? They don't do it that way down the railroad, do they? They don't do it that way out the shop, do they, mister? No, they don't stand for it. I don't believe we'll do God that way. Amen? I sure don't. If we've got an obligation, if we've got a responsibility, I believe we ought to be diligent about it. I believe that means to be prompt, to speed up, to hurry up. Because Jesus is coming. Be diligent. Be conscientious. Be steadfast. Keep on speeding up. Being prompt, doing what you ought to do. I believe we ought to do that. Because I believe God's business is the most important in all the world. Peter said in verse 18, in view of the second coming, beware. Be careful. Don't be led astray. Don't let the false teachers lead you astray. Beware lest you also be led astray. I think that we need to be on our tiptoes tonight. The devil has got his agents out in the world. And they're teaching and they're planting seed of discord and seed of untruth. And we ought to beware lest we be led astray. I want to borrow one B from another portion of the New Testament. In view of the second coming of Christ, Jesus in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 42 says, be ye therefore ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Let us stand for our prayer. Our Heavenly Father, as our heads are bowed and as we bow in these closing moments of this service, we thank Thee for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank Thee, Heavenly Father, for what Thou hast given to us, what our hearts and minds have experienced this day. And as we draw this day to a close in this service, in this hour of worship, it is our prayer that the Holy Spirit would have complete right of way in every heart and in every life. And dear God, we ask that Thou wouldst help us in view of the coming of Christ to be mindful of these things. Help us in view of the coming of Christ not to be ignorant. Help us to be diligent. Help us to beware. Help us to be ready. In Jesus' name we ask.